This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gamble.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of the Monicast. And like always, is Leon next to me. Hey, Leon, how's it going?
How are you?
Very good. Thanks. I'm pretty excited about the week, all the things that are coming up over here. But sure. For the Monicast, we also have exciting things ahead of us.
Yeah, we do.
We have an interview with Bill Anderson, who is a Marketo pro who discovered Mautic for himself. And we'll talk about that and more in a bit. And we have things in the Mautic universe, of course. Like Mautic 3.01 arrived, the first iteration of Mautic 3. And we had another and the last official release of Mautic 2, that is 2.16.3. So going forward, we may see a security patch if necessary. Other than that, Mautic 2 is now officially a legacy, and we're full speed ahead with Mautic 3.
Finally.
Yeah. We talked about the release cycle that the product team gave themselves, and that includes a monthly patch release, even in summer. And so, in other words, 3.0.2 is hopefully going to see the light of the sun by end of July.
I'm pretty sure.
You are? Okay. Yeah, I'm too.
Trust the team product.
They're really rocking it these days. Yeah, and acceleration ahead even. Let's talk about Mautic. I did that a lot recently because I had a bit of conversation with people on LinkedIn.
Oh.
And among those was a friend of mine called Artem Kraut.
Mm-hmm.
And Artem asked me to give a little background on the term of CRM integration. What does it mean? What is the scope in terms of Mautic? Most people know what a CRM is, and many have CRM integration in place, but others don't, and some don't know the full reach. So let's do that for a moment and start with the fact that Mautic is not a CRM. That's the first misconception that we frequently run across, that people think, Mautic is a potential CRM for ourselves.
Then I ask you, why isn't Mautic a CRM?
Oh, I hope that's a rhetorical question.
Of course.
Now, a CRM, seriously, obviously, is a lot more than the Mautic. We do have contacts and company in Mautic, and we have a little bit of management for that. But we don't have sales opportunities. We don't have a pipeline. We are not logging phone calls and all that. So CRM is much more than Mautic is supposed to be. Yep. It is a marketing automation tool. If you look at our friends at HubSpot, they have two products. One is the marketing automation, and the other is the CRM. Mm-hmm. And plus, there are other products, and those tie into each other nicely. But just as nice, we can tie the Mautic product into the HubSpot CRM.
Yep.
So it makes a lot of sense to have a sophisticated CRM that you should be using and to integrate very well with Mautic. Now, what could integration look like? There are gazillions of ways to do that or use cases, but the typical ones are fairly simple.
Yep.
So if you want to start really low, you set up a cron job and say, I want to move all the known contacts that we generate in Mautic right away to the CRM. So whenever a form is filled in, a lead is generated from the Mautic perspective, that is handed over to the CRM system. And when I say via cron, that means on a periodical basis.
Yep.
And that also brings us to the first decision to be made. A contact in Mautic is a person. And we often refer to it as a lead, because lead generation is a big deal in Mautic or in marketing. On the other end, in the CRM, we have typically multiple things, like there is a contact and there is a lead, which is a potential contact. Both are person entities, but they are not the same. So how would I map those two, the person in Mautic and the multiple person objects in the CRM? That's a decision to be made.
It is.
And whatever it is, sales is going to deal with it, but it should be a conscious decision. Okay, so scenario is we move every person that we learn about in Mautic, move him or her to the CRM system. The next would be to do just that, but not every person, only those who reach a certain score level.
Yeah.
So a certain number of points. That's the typical marketing qualified lead. So once they get to 90 points, they move on to the CRM and are dealt with over there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say dealt with over there, that's the other part of background. The Mautic is typically run by marketing. The CRM should be run by sales.
True.
And a very big topic. We could talk about that for hours, I think, how to best make them cooperate or streamline.
Oh, yeah, that's a science for itself.
Yeah. Black magic in some cases. Okay, and you could go on there like a score-based or campaign-based. So there could be a campaign action to move a contact or push a contact to the CRM system. An example beyond that would be that if we have a contact that we learn about in Mautic,
mm-hmm.
we take that one to the CRM and look it up whether we have that contact in the CRM already, typically matched by the email address. Mm-hmm. And if so, we move the data back to Mautic so we know more about that person inside of Mautic and can deal with him more specifically.
So it's a two-way process. We can get data from Mautic into the CRM.
Absolutely, you're right. Yeah, that's a big difference. Or a big difference. We're now moving from one way to a two-way lane. you could come up with examples of what to do with that information, but the idea is there. Or you could go even further and say, okay, let's move all the contacts from the CRM into Mautic. I don't like that too much because we also have to consider data privacy, data security, and less is better. But if you go a little bit further than that, then you could say, okay, we have a certain segment of contacts in the CRM, mm-hmm. and we want to work with them actively in Mautic. So here's a list of, let's say, 100 or 1,000 contacts. Mm-hmm. We move them into Mautic, flag them in a way, or put them into a segment, and start a campaign directly. That could be anything. It could be an email campaign. It could even be a postcard or a letter that is sent out of Mautic. Yeah. And then you go from there. People use that for trade shows, for instance, if they want to send invitations, send out vouchers or invite to get your voucher, etc. So active campaigns that are triggered by the CRM are about completely dealt with by Mautic, and of course then the feedback is returned to the CRM.
That's pretty smart, yeah.
Yeah, and it can again go beyond that. So if you have the tracking on the trade show in the booth, who attended, and that is that goes back into Mautic and then the feedback loop and all that. That's the point where fantasy starts. I mean, that's not unrealistic science fiction fantasy, but where you can get creative and come up with really smart campaigns.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Good. And maybe that's enough for examples and why you want to integrate marketing automation with sales. Yeah. but it should be motivation enough for everybody. Now, the other question by Artem was, what does it take to integrate my CRM system? Because there are hundreds, probably thousands of CRMs on the market.
At least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's a pain. but there's a couple of handful very visible CRM systems, well-known CRM systems, and most of them are already integrated with Mautic or do already integrate with Mautic. Like we talked about HubSpot CRM, but also Salesforce and Soho, etc. But also the open source flavors like Sugar CRM, VTiger, and more. So there is a good list of existing public integrations. If you need your own integration, you can always do that. In Mautic, you're open source. You can do whatever you like.
You're
so
free.
We recently did a CRM integration with SAP, C4C's product. That was with Mautic 2, with the Mautic CRM bundle technology. Basically, there is an existing framework for integrations like that. And you pretty much only do the custom parts, and everything else looks and feels the same, and that makes sense. With Mautic 3, we now have the generic integrations bundle. It's more sophisticated, more modern.
Yeah, perfect.
But either way, it's not a big deal to create your own integration with Mautic deep inside of it. Even easier is to use one of the existing generic integration frameworks like Zapier that most people know, or Integromat that we recently talked about. Yeah. And then there's another one.
Yeah, a new thing on the block. It's called NodeMation. It's reachable under the URL n8n.io. And the product is also called N8N, but they want to be pronounced NodeMation.
Okay.
And it basically works like Zapier, so you can get contact to create and update them, also delete them. And if you feel the need, you can trigger it via a webhook. And yeah, you should take a look at it if you want to contribute instead of our weekly feature wish. We wish to improve the Mautic node. The main source code contributor is Ricardo Espinosa. You can find him on NodeMation. So if you wish to contribute, it's open source, by the way. So
yeah, important.
Pretty easy to contribute. And if you want to just message Ricardo Espinosa and feel free to contribute and start getting it ahead.
Yeah, it's all on GitHub. So yeah, regular mint. And the other thing is, if you are playing around with it and then have an actual use case, like always, you should publish your workflows.
Yep.
You know, this notion of workflows for the individual product. And we want to see 10 or 20 Mautic workflows really soon. So that's our feature wish for the week.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm excited about this thing. It's pretty much brand new.
Yeah.
But because this is the first open source thing, it's promising.
Has a lot of potential.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. We go straight to the interview with Bill Anderson, and I already mentioned that he's by profession a Marketo guy, yeah. But nonetheless, he found out about something else. Here we go. Hey, welcome, Bill. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. I'm very happy that we met online, of course, recently. Mm-hmm. It turned out that we have really old ties into each other from the Type of 3 world.
Yes.
So I take it you are also very familiar with the concept of open source, too?
Oh, I love open source, yes.
But obviously, we're talking about Mautic today, and in your Martech background, you're located in Boston, in the Boston area anyway. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
For some reason, it seems to be some sort of a MarTech Valley, at least from the European point of view, and except it's not a valley, of course. Yeah. So you run the martechcouncil.org website, and I want to talk to you about that as well later, but why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm actually I'm a graphic designer by trade, and I turned marketing automation professional a few years ago. Originally, I was servicing ad agencies and design studios in the U.S. and Europe, and then I went on to be an art director at the New York Times. And one of the things that I had a problem with was that I kept getting my artwork late, and so I suggested that they create an automated system. And I used Typo3 to build this out, and then that later on launched me into automation, a lot of open source. I learned FreeBSD and eventually became a marketing automation professional.
Wow, what a journey.
Yeah, it was fun.
So what's your current role then?
So I'm a solutions architect for DemandSpring, which is a Canadian revenue marketing consultancy, and I have clients in the Canada and the U.S. I'm also a three-time certified Marketo expert, and I'm a Marketo certified solutions architect. So I'm pretty deep in the Marketo world, but I truly love Modic. I think the things that I see Modic doing, it's just a great platform.
Yeah, cool. And it's really always valuable to have people from other universes in the Modic world, because it's always good to learn from each other and to put things into relation. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of insights or maybe learnings, etc., that we can maybe get from you. So, if you look at Modic as it is today, what do you like about it?
Modic today, I think, so Modic has a beautiful interface. It's just, it's intuitive. It's got a robust API that you can plug into just anything. And more importantly, the fact that it's free and open source, for people who choose to self-host is terrific, because that can be, in my opinion, a big game changer for nonprofits. The fact that, excuse me, I do work with nonprofits on a regular basis outside of my job, and they really can't afford $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 and upwards a year for hosting necessarily. And so I think that this could be a major tool for many people.
So, yeah, what do you mean by game changer? Can you elaborate a little bit there?
Sure. So nonprofits often get free limited licenses for Salesforce. HubSpot offers free tiers for a limited amount of users. But as soon as you go past those limits, it gets very expensive really quickly. So what I see a lot is that nonprofits will do all kinds of gymnastics to stay in the free tiers. They'll limit how their users are using it, and they're so busy trying to stay free that they can't focus on what's important. And so Matic, either your self-hosted version or the professionally hosted version, just allows you to focus on what you need to do. And I just think it's a lot easier for someone like a nonprofit.
Yeah, it's a big problem that once you get there beyond the free tier or close to the limits, that you have that nasty lock in. You can't just simply move from A to B.
Exactly.
If they start right, that's fine. If they are already there. I've seen that even with commercial companies, that they move from X to Modic, but it's a more or less a re-implementation. It's not just moving on.
It is, yes. Yeah. I've had to build several instances from scratch in Marketo, that someone is moving from HubSpot to Marketo, or from Salesforce Marketing Cloud to Marketo, and It is. You're starting from scratch. You lose historical data. You don't have, you have a big hit in terms of your IT and your operations until people get used to it. So it's very difficult.
Mm. On the other hand, maybe it's a healthy thing to throw away the first try and then start over and then do it right from scratch. So yeah, people give it a shot and move over to Mordek. Eh?
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have use cases maybe?
Yeah, sure. So, for example, I built a Marketo and Salesforce integration for a large Boston-based rowing club. They do a lot of outreach, so they do what do they call para rowing, or you know, they work with injured veterans and inner city kids, teach them how to row, teach them how to be on a competitive team. And I really would like to convert their systems to Mautic because I think that it would save that nonprofit at least $10,000 a year or more.
That'd be a really cool case study also.
Yeah. I think another one is that I worked with a local arts center to create a quite a sophisticated communication system that supports, it supports ticket sales, community outreach, and fundraising support. And, you know, Mautic is much more flexible and simple than many of the typical nonprofit CRMs, customer relation management systems like Blackbaud or, you know, Civis CRM, which there's just so many options that your typical volunteer can't understand, and they just shut down. And Mautic, you can, it's just so pleasant and simple to use that that it's easy for novices to come in and just simply work.
Yeah, it's not like we're perfect already, but we'll be getting there.
Yeah, it's very pleasant to use.
Yeah, it is, and with some more education and even more improvements, it's a lot of sky's the limit. Let's put
it
that way.
Yeah. And particularly because it's open source, then that means that you can build on it, you know, and you can craft things the way you need it to. Whereas in a closed system like Adobe Cloud, Adobe Experience Cloud, it's much more difficult to tailor it to your needs. You can to some degree, but it's still a walled garden, and you hit very hard stops when you need to do something.
Yeah, it sometimes, I don't want to say makes me smile, but I look at feature request forums for HubSpot, etc. And yeah, some things can be done by Zapier and those guys, but many others, you depend on the commercial vendor.
Yes.
And 2% of that may be done over time, but the other 98% are never going to happen.
Which
is understandable from their point of view, but the concept of open source obviously has a lot of advantages in that area.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so, I already mentioned the MarTech Council project. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I am the founder of the Marketing Technology Council, and this is a social enterprise. It helps students and non-traditional learners enter the marketing technology industry. And MarTech is really great because you don't need a fancy pedigree. You simply need an attitude and an aptitude. And there are unlimited opportunities right now.
What do you mean?
So, for example, if you go into finance, a degree from community college or your local small university may not open doors, but a degree from Harvard will certainly get you the best jobs. Hmm. And, you know, MarTech is so new, it's a lot like being a webmaster in the 1990s. And if you think about, for example, an island community, they're often supported by tourism. And so kids don't really have a whole lot of choices. They can work for a hotel, they can work in agriculture, or they can leave the island to try to find a better job. And in many cases, you know, an EU island will have fiber connections, and the kids could stay in their communities and continue to work and grow. And that's not a fantasy. I've actually seen that.
Yeah, and even more so today, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if we think of improving in all directions. What do you think are the biggest challenges for Mordic today?
I would say ease of use, documentation, and maintenance. For the most part, it's very easy to use. There are some still hidden things. You know, for example, it took me a while to figure out how to embed a form. Even though it's a simple one-line code, it was hard to find in the documentation at the time. Mm. And, you know, this was several years ago. But more than anything, all powerful systems really face these challenges. I think the trend is more towards simple walled garden software like Squarespace or WordPress is also super simple to set up. Mm. And if these are your competitors, people are accustomed to that. But I think at the same time, people quickly get frustrated with these systems as they get more sophisticated. And you need to take the time to learn a complex system like Typo3 and Modic if you want to. And once you do learn something like that, you know, these advanced systems, you can go quite quickly and there's no limit to its use.
So it's the first steps that are most important?
I think the first steps are often the hardest. And really, it's twofold. It's learning the system, and I think, you know, the community is working on that with documentation and screencasts and things like that. But the mental model of marketing automation is very difficult for people to understand. Mm. I think it's more than an elaborate email provider. It can do much, much more.
Mm. Yeah, that is, in fact, a problem by itself, that people come from different levels. Some know marketing automation, come mm-hmm. from HubSpot or whatever. Some know inbound marketing, but not the tools. Some don't even know about the concept of inbound marketing. So either you have some sort of track for all of those, or you explicitly cut off at some point and say, okay, if you want to learn about marketing automation, about inbound marketing concepts, go here. Go to HubSpot.
Right. HubSpot has a great HubSpot has a great content library, but they have a lot of people employed who just generate that content.
Money about that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah, but I have a lot of respect for that. They do mm-hmm. a really brilliant job there.
Yes.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Very good. So, how involved are you in the community in the US? Do you have any insights there? It strikes me that although Mordic is a US-based or US-originated product and project, it seems like it's drifting away from there and it's more centering around Europe. There's strong mm-hmm. communities in Brazil, in Japan, and in Asia in general. But US has gotten pretty silent lately. Or more general question, how big is open source in the US in general?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Yeah, it's funny because I've talked to the Mautic people several times. They're actually based in Boston as well. Mm. And I run into them at trade shows and things like that. I do agree. I think much of the Europe-centric adoption may come from the fact that we keep touching on Typo3, but Typo3 is a huge content management system in Europe, and it's tremendously powerful. And I think many of the people who work with Typo3 also adopted Mautic because they see the power there as well. And I think in the U.S., much of what's happening is really we are focusing more on social media platforms and the walled garden, and you've also got a tremendous competition between Adobe Experience Cloud, you know, which is Adobe bought Marketo, mm. and then also you know, Salesforce is and HubSpot are serious competitors, and I think they focus really more in the U.S. markets, and so it's hard to have your voice heard. And Japan, I think Japan, I know that Marketo focuses a lot on Japan now, so I think that the automation is starting and the awareness is starting there, and the Japanese markets are just looking at other alternatives besides Marketo.
Yeah, from some markets you hear that there is one player who is steering up the market and is raising interest in marketing automation, and all the others or some others are growing just due to that fact that people get more interested, find out that, let's say, Marketo is not the right tool for them, but then find out about an open source alternative, a low cost alternative, whatever. The only thing is that marketing is not as close to open source as tech is. So my experience or my background in the CMS area is always that people understand open source very well, and so the adoption or the contribution, if you work with the open source product, it's pretty natural to contribute and to interact and so on. And marketing, even in your personal behavior or in your professional behavior, you work with walled gardens and keep your secrets to yourself, and et cetera.
So, yeah, I think so. And I think, too, that many marketers are used to the old school. They don't, when you leave university, you don't have the training that you need to naturally get into automation and marketing technology. It's more the things that you learn are stuck in the 1980s, buying media, making billboards, doing print ads. And so the logic isn't really there. It's not intuitive.
And that's funny, because we as Europeans always think that the US is years ahead of us. And so it should all be much more natural and much, much more widespread than it is over here.
Right.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
We'll see. I sure hope that the US community for Mordic will get more substantial. I think one problem is that there's this mix between the global community and the US community, whereas the Japanese community or the German community, etc., is an identity by itself, by definition.
Right.
So maybe meetups, etc., more local, more regional things may help to create identification. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the problem is really that there is a three-way battle with a lot of money in North America for the marketing automation space, and it's Adobe Marketo, Salesforce, and HubSpot. It's not a whole lot of room for an open source community to speak in that situation. But I think we'll do it.
Yeah. Well, that's on the product side, on the marketing side, and on the sales side. For those who do use Mordic, because there are a ton of Mordic users in the US, to connect and to interact and maybe even to join forces, that's not a bad thing, and why not? But we'll see. And
is a very good point. That is a very good point, because even when I was, trying to find Mordic reviews, there are few and far in between, and they're often dated.
Yeah.
So the biggest community I do find is on the Slack channel at this point. But I think you're right. I think we could build out a user community much better.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in the podcast and elsewhere frequently, that it basically lacks the foundation at this point. I have so much input from people who would like to do that but don't know how and where, and everybody is building their islands. And I think we have very, very promising concepts there. Things are getting started right now, and I'm really looking forward to see that applied to North America, basically.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okie doke, Bill, thank you so much. I'm going to let you go. Thanks for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You as well.
And I hope we talk again soon, and maybe you have some more for us at the Mordicon in November.
Sounds good.
Okie doke. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I always felt like open source has like a kind of different flavor in the USA compared to the rest of the world. And that also gave us quite some insight on that.
Yeah, I'm still not sure. It's a strange situation because Mordic is a US product from by birth and still has a lot of DNA, but is so international now. And I sure hope that we'll see a stronger US community really soon. Which brings us to Mordicon, which was originally scheduled for the US. Mm-hmm. Now it is a global thing too. And we've really good news from there because we do have a lead for the Mordicon working group now.
Ooh, that's nice.
Mei-Jen from the UK, Mei-Jen Jack. We're happy to have her on board, and I can report that we are making good progress in the preparations on every area from the technical tooling all the way to the spirit and the content. I'm looking forward to that too, and we'll see a request for papers, a call for papers real soon, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, there are some local events going on, but almost exclusively, or as far as I know, exclusively online these days again. Our friend Toby in Nigeria is hosting the monthly Lagos meetup, and I'll have the pleasure to be part of that this month.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, and teams are going crazy these days. The official Mordic teams, they all have a ton of work to do. So once again, if you are interested in being part of any of that, you're still very, very welcome.
Especially in team education. I heard that's the best team. So.
Of course it is. Yeah. Okay, doke. That's it for today.
It is.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And like always, do spread the word. Look at the show notes on Mordicon. It's the Mordicast. The Mordicast.com. You'll find the links in that show notes and maybe a little bit extra. Mostly we do have some follow-ups. Do follow us on Twitter and all the other channels as well. Give us feedback.
Please.
Give us thumbs up. Give us a love. And be back next time. Until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.